What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 182nd episode of the Pokemon Podcast. My name is SBJ, and with me today, as always, I have Will.
As sometimes always, because out of the last 100 episodes, I haven't appeared in all 100 of them. But my real question for that commentary is, I think Travis has turned into a bird. Or is Travis a bird? That's the question. Something like that.
Gone?
I think he's a bird now.
He started a new life, Will.
As a cockatiel.
And we have to wish him the best in his
a new life as a bird. New life. I do wish him the best, and I hope that he enjoys lots of nuts. I think that's what cockatiels eat.
Maybe.
I may be wrong.
Maybe.
Please move on.
I'm sure Travis will be here next week. He's not dead, everyone, just to let you guys know. But in his place, we have the guy who sounds closest to Travis in voice.
The only reason that I'm ever here.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I can't hear the difference between their voices. I can't hear the similarities between their voices, because I think they're both very different. But Mike is here.
Well, many people have said that we sound very similar. So
I don't think that's the case.
I think Micah uses a lot of vocal fry, and Travis uses a lot of high-pitched squealing.
Oh, okay. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how Travis feels about that either. But
have I ever cared how anybody has ever felt about anything that has come out of my mouth?
Micah's always also on that delay.
Yeah, the lifetime delay.
30-second delay in life. Yup.
It's a good skill set to have.
It makes it even more annoying when, like, I'm watching something side by side with somebody, like, for example, Pokemon Worlds, and the actual stream delay on my end is like 20 seconds behind. Because then I could be like, it's not my fault.
Speaking of Pokemon Worlds, usually we don't talk about Pokemon stuff right away, but we just finished watching the Masters Finals for the VGCs.
Yes.
And boy, that match was not anything special.
Now, I mean, but yeah, the worst thing about it was, right, the teams were, like, identical. Pretty much identical, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, since I'm not here all the time, and it's probably somewhat unpopular opinion, but we touched on this briefly outside of recording. I don't understand why any legendaries are allowed in competitive play. But maybe that's just me. Maybe it was just I'm just being old fashioned.
Yeah. Well, this has been a problem since Black and White, and maybe it's been a problem longer than that. But you see the three genies.
Like everybody in that match, aside from Kangaskhan, was a legendary.
No, there was Aegislash.
Okay, Aegislash. So Kangaskhan and Aegislash. Everybody else was a legendary.
No, there was a Volcarona.
Doesn't Volcarona count, though? Doesn't he count as a legendary?
No,
like,
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
You can breed your Volcaronas.
Yeah, but you get the every competitive VGC team must run two of the three genies.
Yeah, I don't.
And you need almost everyone's running Heatran and almost everyone's running Cresselia. Right there, you got five legendaries that have been dominant for ever since Black and White. And it's kind of sad that Pokemon Company hasn't seen that or hasn't fixed it or hasn't, like, acknowledged that that's a problem that they want to fix.
No, I agree. It's like they put so much money into the competition, too, and it's like they're just letting it grow stale.
Right. I think their thought process was, okay, well, we have – well, last year was X and Y. It was like their thought process was like, okay, we have Megas. You guys, this will change everything up, and it didn't. It was just like those same five legendaries plus Mega Kangaskhan. That was the only difference. And we saw that this year. We saw that this year exactly.
Well, that's what it was this year, too.
Exactly, and then maybe their thought process of this year with Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire was like, we gave you guys even more megas, and it was like none of those were shown at all.
I know, right? It's still Mega Kangaskhan.
Yep.
Wow. Oh man, and the strategy is very similar. Just brute force. No, very little creativity.
Rock Slide, very popular move. Heat Wave.
Showing my competitive skill here is if I didn't already by suggesting that Volcarona was maybe a legendary. In Kangaskhan's defense, Mega Kangaskhan is very adorable.
That is true.
It's very adorable, but it's also very easy to breed, as that was the first competitive Pokemon that I bred, and I got it like perfect. Perfect IVs, everything. So, not that hard to put together. Not that breeding is actually anything that has to do with competitive Pokemon.
I mean, you can just RNG, and I mean,
yeah.
You're just trying to get me mad.
The world has literally ended as we started recording this. We kind of waited to watch that final match and. Couple announcements coming in. Worlds 2016 will be in San Francisco. So last time it was in California, it was very, very busy, very overbooked because California has a lot of people and a lot of people can fly there. And I don't know how crowded Boston was. I wasn't there, but I remember the time I was in, it was actually San Diego, I believe, the Worlds I went to. It was they had way too many people register for last chance qualifier than they even imagined. And I think 200 to 300 people got buys the first round just because they didn't have tables for them to sit at. So they just gave them a free pass to round two. But yeah, that was the closing announcements.
A lot of buys. I feel like
that is a lot of buys.
also San Francisco is very expensive from what I understand.
Yes.
It is also very nice though. It's a very nice city.
Well, I've never been there. I know you guys have both been there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And the majority of people in San Francisco are incredibly nice all the time.
They're not all tech millionaires?
Well, maybe they're nice because they're tech millionaires. And they don't have to worry about things like, you know, bills or school loans.
I wouldn't say San Francisco's top on my cities to live, but it's definitely top on my cities to visit.
It's pretty nice. I will say that they did a really good job in the stream, the broadcast of making it look like a very fun event. Looked like a lot of fun.
Oh, I mean, I've been like to everybody Worlds.
There
it's
was having a lot of fun.
It's fun. It is.
Is it? Seems like it.
Especially it just seems doing like, side events and being silly.
Yeah.
It
just seems like it gives off that. The cast gives off that good, like, convention atmosphere. Like, everybody there for the pretty much the same thing. Shared interests. Like, just having a good time.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Pokemon has found its groove with streaming and in doing Worlds. I don't feel like they're taking enough risks of doing new things. Or pushing it a little farther, but I think they're content in... The audience in Worlds is content with what they're doing.
Well, yeah. I'll say one thing I was not content about and where they tried to do something new was the Pokken tournament competition they had on Friday, where I literally had like Worlds streaming in my office while I was at work and I wanted to watch the VGC competitions on Friday afternoon for the Swiss rounds, and they didn't show any of those and they only showed Pokken tournament. And I know that there's like a huge fighting game, like a competitive scene, and they were probably trying to draw those people in to get them to watch as well. But for me, who just wanted to see regular old traditional Pokemon battles, and those Swiss round battles would be the ones that were more creative.
Right.
Did they just not show those in general? It just, they completely...
they pretty much just skipped them.
That seems like an why maybe not do like when they do Evo, which is the big fighting competition every year, they do like fighting game competition, they do multiple Evo channels because they know there's so many games that are being played. Like, why not show
well
that separate
in from... Pokemon's defense, streaming Swiss is relatively new. In years past, they almost only streamed finals.
I mean, you know, you say that, but even like when you and I were at Nationals together, which was what, 2012, they still showed some of the Swiss rounds on video. So just popping that up onto the TV screen, like the video in the location, putting it up onto the stream is not that much different. They don't have to show the people too, right? You could just show the battle screen.
In general, it just seems odd to override anything VGC related for something that's not VGC.
Well,
And it made me unhappy.
I think this
Although I was very excited to see Pokken Tournament.
Yeah,
Well, you're
then
wrong.
that's our first bit of news is that the big announcement out of Worlds was Pokken Tournament was announced worldwide for Wii U in 2016. Early 2016, they said. So I think to stream that and to piggyback off that, you have the hardcore people already have probably watched Japanese videos of Pokken streaming, and now you're saying that this game is coming worldwide, and you have people who have heard about Pokken Tournament but maybe have not seen it in action. So they were just piggybacking off that like social media announcement
Yeah.
to get people to watch, which is fine. I'm assuming that their resources were kind of limited, and that they had so many people making sure that the Pokken tournament was streamed that they probably didn't have enough people to run another stream, even if they wanted to.
And honestly, I'm guessing that they for the sake of popularity, or for coverage sake, it was more beneficial for them to stream a new announce like a new game announcement and build hype for that than it was to stream Swiss
Yeah,
rounds, maybe.
absolutely. Because I have a friend who is like really, really into the fighting game community, like the same way that I'm into Pokemon. And he, like, the minute I told him that they were doing a stream of Pokken Tournament, he put the stream on in his office. And then he's like, all these competitors who were people that aren't from the Pokemon community, but from the fighting game community that they had in the Pokken Tournament. He's like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. I know that guy. Yeah, that guy's really famous. Like, Rip is the guy who won. And he's like, oh yeah, Rip is really famous. And I was like, I've never heard of that dude.
Well,
So
famous probably in the Evo sense.
yeah, but it just like brought in like probably just a few tweets about, oh, they're streaming Pokken Tournament out to the fighting game community, brought in views from all of those fighting game fans and the Pokemon fans. So it's like, if it's based on ratings, then they just got huge ratings just by doing that.
Well, and I had noticed in my own circles, like the people that I grew up with through Pokemon. Like Tekken and Pokemon came kind of hand in hand. Like Tekken was the big thing that people were playing at Aladdin's Castle, which was the local arcade to me. And when we would be sitting with our DSs on the floor or out on someone's car or whatever, it was either that or people were playing Tekken. And a lot of the people who still care about Pokemon but have cared about it less. And still care about Tekken, but maybe not as much. Like, I noticed a lot of those people showing a lot more interest in that. Like, there was like a renewed interest for them in both Pokemon and Tekken, seeing that announcement and seeing that, the gameplay and stuff like that.
Well, let's see if that renewed interest translates into dollars when it's actually released for the Wii
Yeah.
U. Because, like, right, how many people, we'll have to see how many people are going to buy a Wii U because they
Right.
haven't bought a Wii U yet
That's
just
the
to play
other
this
too.
game.
Most of those dudes that I know at least don't have Wii Us.
I'm hesitant to say that Pokken Tournament will be a system seller.
Yeah, I think on some on a on like a like a cult classic level, maybe, but.
I know a lot of people that play Pokemon just obviously because I run a Pokemon podcast, but a lot of them don't like Smash Brothers or don't like fighting games, and I don't. Pokken has Pokemon, obviously as fighting, but that's still it's usually not enough to get people in fighting games because people don't want to memorize up, down, left, right moves or anything like that. That's just not fun.
Yeah, Monster Hunter. I will say what will make it a system seller is if they make Vileplume a playable character in Pokken Tournament, then that will sell Wii Us. People are so nuts for Vileplume. They will just grab it.
I
They
don't think
probably even
that's
have like
true.
a special edition Vileplume Wii U.
Now, I wasn't prepared for this conversation, so I don't know the answer to this. Maybe you guys do. Do they have cabinets for Pokken Tournament,
Yeah,
like
only
in
in Japan.
Japan?
It's an
Okay.
arcade game.
I would be interested to see if the if that comes here.
Well, I'm assuming it is coming here for Dave and Buster's.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I vaguely remember talking about Dave & Buster's had had like some sort of.
Yeah, I think it's smart though that they're doing a worldwide release for Pokken Tournament this coming spring, because it's easier to say, oh, Pokken Tournament sold 1 million copies when you're shipping it to every country around the world.
Yeah. So I would actually recommend, Micah, if you want to put in a half ounce of effort, there is a Japanese TV show called Imagine Dash Nation. It's on NHK, which is the Japanese PBS. And if you just do a search on their website archives, they did an entire program about Pokken Tournament. And it shows the cabinet, it shows the controllers, it shows gameplay footage, and it has interviews with the Tekken guy who did all the work for Pokken Tournament, so you can learn all about it for free.
I can tell you right now that
Listen, you
Pokken.
lost me at effort, but
Ugh, sorry.
I can tell you right now that Pokken Tournament is not taking any advantage of that Wii U controller.
Oh no, not the second screen. No, I don't. Yeah, they actually had special controllers for the
I'm looking at this now
cabinet to
and
make it look like
yeah.
a regular Nintendo controller.
It looks like a well, it's I don't know. It looks good to me. I'm interested in it, but mostly for me, it's more on like a nostalgic level because that's what I grew up with, like watching people play Tekken and sort of learning Tekken to some extent and playing Pokemon. And I'm sure a lot of the people that I've lost touch with to some extent will be kind of back in the picture for this, as I'm already seeing people are showing interest in it, and I think that's kind of neat, at least on my level. But I'm sure there are plenty of people who play Pokemon who don't care about this at all.
Yeah. Well, fighting games are also in a weird skill set of like Pokemon itself as a game is very luck based, especially when you're running four legendaries on your team. In the fighting game sense, you're either good or you're not, and if you're not good, it's very hard for you to get good, and so you're just losing over and over. And if you are really good, it's very hard to find somebody at that skill set that you're at, especially locally.
Yeah. You're also kind of melding two communities that are not really on the same page. The fighting game community is sometimes very aggressive and toxic, I guess, to some extent.
Maybe they are on the same page with the Pokemon community.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Vileplume knows toxic.
I think most every Pokemon knows toxic.
It is a TM. You want? I mean, since we're already talking about news, and we're talking about the other announcement to piggyback off of Pokken Tournament being released worldwide for Wii U, is that Pikachu Libre has been added to the game, which is fine. It's a little disappointing that it's a variation of Pikachu. I don't know if it's a Pikachu costume or just a whole new character, but kind of disappointing that we're not seeing like Hawlucha or something else like
I would have
that.
loved Hawlucha, but I'm not disappointed that we're getting Pikachu Libre because, I mean, look at him.
I mean, if it's like a Ken and Ryu situation where they're like extremely similar except for like one thing, to me that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Now the fighting game community is like yelling at me that Ken and Ryu are so different.
But what do you mean?
We'll get some depressing news out of the way. The Boston Police Department stopped a violent plot during the Pokemon Championships at the Hine Convention Center. Two men were arrested after allegedly threatening violence to the attendees of the Pokemon World Championship in Boston. A release from Boston Police Department says that they were notified on social media of threats on Thursday, and they were able to stop two suspects attempting to enter the event a few hours later. The men were not arrested at the time. Of me reading this, they are arrested, obviously. Detectives discovered that the two men have driven from Iowa with several guns in their vehicles that they did not have license for. After obtaining a search warrant for the vehicle, police found a 12-gauge shotgun, an AR-15, and several hundred rounds of ammunition, and a hunting knife. On Friday, the arrest warrants were issued for 18-year-old Kevin and 27-year-old James. These men were taken to custody at their hotel. Both men were charged with unlawful possession of firearms, unlawful possession of ammunition, and other firearm-related offenses.
Very unfortunate.
That I have no comment. I agree. It's just like, that's awful.
Yep. It's too bad. It's always got to be somebody.
It's both sad and a relief that obviously nothing bad happened. It's also interesting that
they were able to catch it.
Right. Yeah, they caught it, which is great. It's interesting that that didn't make or bubble up to like bigger news than it was, which is probably a great relief for everyone that was there.
Yeah, they seemed not to skip a beat, which is great. And it really took a lot of the attention off of that, which clearly was the point of it.
Yeah. If you want to end something that's been going on annually, that is something that could possibly
do it.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
It's also was probably on the police's best interest to release that press release pretty much as Worlds was ending.
Yeah.
And not.
Yeah. So there was hysteria about it. Yeah.
Yep.
Or encouraging other people to try something similar.
Right.
Because crazy people be crazy.
I'm curious if in a week or two we'll get a little bit more news based off that to see if there was any motives or something. Because to target a Pokemon-centric event is kind of odd in a sense.
Yeah, they probably just like lost a lot at their local league and just were really mad.
They're mad with their booster pack pulls. News more on the positive side here. Japan now got two new custom 3DS themes, which feature Pikachu. One features Dancing Pikachu, and the other features pretty much just Pikachu's face. Those do not have a North American or European announced date yet, but it seems like every Pokemon theme that has hit Japan has come elsewhere. So if you like spending $1.99 on themes...
Ugh, I buy every single Pokemon one, even the ugly ones.
I've bought 5 of them, and I think there are 10 of them now.
Well, I have all 10.
Ugh.
The Espeon Umbreon one is just so ugly, and I still bought it. And it pops up because I have them on random rotation, and it just pops up, and I'm like, ugh.
If I probably would be more compelled to go out and buy the rest of them if I looked at my home screen more often. I'm pretty much in one game all the time.
You got that right.
There is a there's still shiny Rayquaza. You can download that on Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire from now to September 14th by going to Mystery to Gift. This Rayquaza is not only shiny but knows the move Dragon Ascent, and
let me tell you, I'm getting some great use out of that shiny Rayquaza.
Yeah, you were streaming the other day playing Pokemon, which was unusual for me to watch your stream playing a game that I knew and not some Diablo 2 BS clone that you've been playing.
What? What are you talking about?
That like Baldur's Gate thing that
stopped. We put maybe like 90 hours into that game and just can't do it anymore. But it was suggested when I started playing it, when I started streaming it, that I should just do all the trainer battles with only shiny Rayquaza, even though he's level 70, and he will not obey me. It's worth it to just ride it out until he does obey, and it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing just destroying.
Are you just doing a normal playthrough, but with Rayquaza?
I guess so. That wasn't the intention initially, but That's the fun of this of the stream sometimes. It's that people request things and I'm dumb enough to just go along with it. So now that's what it's turned into.
Man, if this podcast was recorded live, there'd probably be the same dumb decisions being made.
Most likely.
Yeah, so Shiny Rayquaza till September 14th. What else do I have? The Cynthia. I never know how to say this word. Nendoroid?
Nendoroid?
I thought they were Nedroids. NED.
I think it's Nendoroid.
Nendoroid, yeah, because
Nendoroid.
there's double O's in there.
Like Nintendo, but like Nendoroid.
It's well, anyways, the Cynthia version, which is like a little vinyl toy, is set to be released on PokemonCenter.com.
They're actually kind of, I'm sorry.
Go
I
ahead.
gotta. They're very, very articulated, like action figures. They're like, if you've ever heard of Revoltech, which is like a Japanese
Revoltech? Is that like technology that's
Voltron?
revolting?
It's a very popular series of like toy in Japan that are incredibly articulated, like very detailed and also incredibly articulated. They're like small, like chibi versions of those, so that you can put them in pretty much any position, and they have like faces that you can swap and things like that. They're very. They did one for Isabelle from Animal Crossing. They did a Luigi one last year. They did the Wind Waker Link. And then the majority of them are anime characters I've never heard of before. But that's
Yeah, they do have a lot of anime characters that I can't recognize.
they're very like posable though, and they actually did a Pokemon Trainer Red one too with the Gen 1 starters, which is very, they're adorable.
The red figure was released in Japan of September 2014. And then it came to the United States via PokemonCenter.com in December of 2014. Obviously, it's not there anymore because it sold out. The Cynthia figure has been in Japan since July 25th. And obviously, it should be coming to the PokemonCenter.com on Tuesday, or sorry, Wednesday of this week. Pokemon plans to be releasing a new figure every 3 months on PokemonCenter.com. So I don't know what figure's coming after Cynthia, but I'm sure you can still buy Red.
For ridiculous prices, I'm sure.
Is it? Let me see how much it is on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm gonna check too. They're very cool. Like
We saw one at
if you like toys and you
we
like
saw one at Gen
Pokemon,
Con.
that's the. There you go.
I don't know. I just came across a Nendoroid from
Oh,
the
that's actually
anime.
not. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say from the anime Do Ra Ra Ra, which I find that I thought very few people watched that in the first place, and to have such an obscure character with a Nendoroid, wow.
Well, there a lot of them are really obscure as far as I could tell because I've never heard of the majority of them, but they're also very popular in Japan. So if that's they're mostly distributed in Japan. So if it's a show or a game that's popular in Japan, then it makes sense. And the price for the for Red on at least on eBay is surprisingly cheap. It looks like roughly $20.
Yeah, I'm looking at AliExpress and it's $20 there too, but on Amazon it's about 200, so
Yeah.
I'm not sure what this AliExpress is out of, probably China.
Oh, it looks like at least from the company is Good Smile that does Nendoroid. It looks like the eBay listings, the one that's 200 is the American version.
Oh, okay.
Everything else is the Japanese version, and it's like 10 to $20.
I'm sure they overproduced the Japanese version. I imagine the only thing different is the box it comes in.
Right.
So I'll look forward to that this week if you are a big Cynthia fan. I know there's at least one huge Cynthia fan that listens to the show.
Got that right.
Pokemon Shuffle news. On Monday of last week, the day after we recorded, the Darkrai escalation battle got added. I believe this is the first time Darkrai was in Pokemon Shuffle.
I think so. Yep.
It's available from August 17th to August 31st. And if you make it to level 50, you get the Mega Speed Up, or what is it called? The Mega Candy.
I'm trying to remember what your prediction was from last week for Shuffle, what it was going to be.
Oh, it was wrong.
I thought I said Groudon. Oh, no, I think I said Mew was coming back. And I was wrong.
Something like that.
Last week we had Rayquaza. This week they gave us Groudon. So they're still rotating those three. I also assumed that Emboar was coming because Pig Knight ended, and that did not happen. But yeah, oh yeah, here we go. If you beat Darkrai in level 50, you get Mega Speed Up. If you go to level 100, you also get another Mega Speed Up. And then if you get to stage 200, you get a final Mega Speed Up.
Well, I had no problems until I got to level 50, and now I'm kind of stuck.
Yeah. It gets easy after 50. 50 is just hard, and then it goes back to being easy. Mega Speed Ups are permanent upgrades to your Mega Pokemon. It just lets them Mega evolve faster in future battles.
Who would you recommend applying a Mega Speed Up to first out of all the Megas that are available in Pokemon Shuffle?
I think so. Each Mega Pokemon can eat a certain amount of Mega Speed Ups. I think Lucario, that he can eat a total of four. And Ampharos is like crazy. It's like eight. But Gengar only needs one Mega Speed Up to hit his maximum. So I would give it to Gengar because Gengar is also one of the best Pokemons to use during Meowth stage, because other Pokemon like Lucario can wipe out coins, and that's not good. But Gengar just gets rid of all the Gengars, which gives you more coins, or lets the possibility of more coins drop down. So I would give it to Gengar, in my opinion.
I am a fan of Mega Gengar.
He is great.
I just like Gengar in general.
Gengar is also great. I think that's it that we have it's for news Gengar, here. Right? Yeah, that's all we got. I might be missing something, but I think we talked.
Yeah, we did Pokemon Worlds. Pikachu Cup was this weekend. I've been playing in the Pikachu Cup. No real surprises there. Lots of Mega Ampharos and who's the big electric guy? Like the really big one.
Manectric?
No. Actually, I have not seen as much Manectric as I was expecting. Electivire.
Oh, yeah.
But
are you seeing a lot of people using Pikachu?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Good.
Every battle I've been in has had a Pikachu. Only one had a cosplay Pikachu, and I put that battle video up because I did some stuff in that one that was pretty hilarious.
Are they allowed to use cosplay Pikachu?
They are. It doesn't count towards the Pikachu count.
Oh, okay.
Since this is going to come out after the competition is over, I will let everybody know that I do have my Stunfisk on my team, Nose Fisher, and I have actually used it successfully several times.
That's awesome. Posted
a couple of those battle videos. So like somebody came out with Electivire and I used Fisher, and that Electivire was able to get one move off in the entire competition. I love Fisher. It's my favorite move. Especially because like the little Pokemon just get like sucked down into the earth.
But do you love Stunfisk?
I have an affinity for Stunfisk because that was one of Silent's Pokemon on the cartoon, and I think Silent is one of my favorite characters.
What do you love more, Stunfisk or Whiscash?
Ooh, tough call. I think Whiscash because he's so versatile.
Yeah, Whiscash is cool.
He's got future sight, man. He can see the future.
All right, what we'll do is we'll take a break, and then we'll come back. I'll do a bad transition about Future Sight being related to email somehow, so we'll be right back. And we are back. We got listener emails, guys. That was my future site right there.
Did you foresee a listener email?
I foresaw them all. Last week,
I need to go. I'll see you guys later.
Last week, we asked you guys to email in and ask about tell us your thoughts on the little green the new Pokemon, the mini Celebi. And some of you guys did, and some of you guys sent in some other emails. So if you want to send in an email for next week's show, you can do so at sbj@pkmncast.com. If you can't remember that, just go to PokemonPodcast.com and hit that contact button. That is the same way to email us. But the first email here is from Nick. Also, in the future, if you want to write where you're from, I can say Nick from...
Well, let's just say he's from... he's from Nebraska. Nick from Nebraska.
Yeah, that Nebraska way I don't... Nick. That way I don't have to read that last name, and then you know specifically it's you, because there's only one Nick in Nebraska, just like there's only one Dave in Texas.
Damn. I mean, I feel like they'll know it's them when you read the words they wrote, but...
Right. That's fair. Maybe they forgot what they wrote in. Dear Pokemon Podcast, do you think Pokemon Company / Game Freak / Nintendo has ever regretted creating Raichu? In all their merchandising and promotion, Raichu has slept under the Poke rug. If they could do it all over again, do you think Pikachu would be the final evolutionary stage? That's part one of two questions.
That is such a difficult question to answer. I don't think
I would say
so.
Yes. Yes, because I feel like they are missing opportunities to really trying to think of a kid friendly word. To really pump up like a mega Pikachu. And I think that if they had the opportunity to do that, they would. Because Pikachu is like they can't really do that as well with a Mega Raichu, because people don't care about Raichu as much as they care about Pikachu.
That's true.
Oh, I would disagree. There was a website that did a mock Mega Raichu 1 year for April Fools, and people
I remember
nuts. People were so excited for Mega Raichu.
And so, don't get me wrong, that was one sweet Mega Raichu. But,
and I'll also let you know this. There is nothing stopping them from making a Mega Pikachu.
I think it's interesting because obviously Pikachu's success was pretty instant. And they went on and they made Pichu. And they even put like Pichu in Smash Brothers at one point. And it was just, I don't know if they were trying to like piggyback off that success or like make Pichu appeal to people who don't like Pikachu. It's very curious.
Now, the baby Pokemon were about as appealing as Muppet Babies, which was just a load of garbage. So
what?
They stopped.
But Fleffa, though.
No.
And Magby. So cute.
Cute doesn't sell 3DSs.
I feel like there needs to be a restructure in Pokemon's.
If you think about the Pikachu... like the new Pikachus or like the Pikachu of different generations, they don't have any evolutions really, like Dedenne and like
Emolga
and Pachirisu.
Yeah, like they are single evolution. Like,
they were Pikachus done right,
like just basic Pokemon. It makes me think that maybe they wish they didn't. That and the fact that they play down Raichu so much. This is an interesting question when I think about it, for me at least, because I am a big Raichu fan. I've always liked Raichu. I thought he was cool.
But I just think that possibly that Pikachu wasn't intended to be the series mascot at the beginning, and it's just another one of those ones where they kind of like figured it out later.
Right.
Yeah, I think so too. The second part of the question is, who do you think they regret more, Raichu or Jinx?
Why would anybody regret Jinx?
I think Jinx was a flaw of being released in the wrong, like, year.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Jinx had a lot of controversy because of its colors.
Well, so the misunderstanding there is that Jinx is based on a style of dress and makeup that is very popular among some young women in Japan. That's the forest girl look. And if you like, there's whole like subcultures in Japan, which is just not something we see in the States.
Yeah,
where it's like, I'm going to dress according to my. It's almost like if there were eight other different things besides like goth. And you, like, every weekend, instead of having the option to just be a normal person or dress goth, you were a normal person or you dressed as one of these other eight different things, and you just, like, went full hilt on it. And the forest girl look is just one that used to be popular. I don't think it's still popular. But to dress up kind of like that, where you have, like, overly tanned skin is supposed to be, I think, the look that comes through makeup. You have overly tanned skin.
Yeah, I think the only regret with Jinx is that it was released in the 90s. I mean, Jinx is just the Gen 1 version of Gothitelle.
Yeah, exactly.
I think maybe there was just like a cultural disconnect.
Right.
And I mean
if you put Jinx next to Mr. Mime, that also makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I think there's a lot of cultural disconnects in Pokemon. We just don't pick up on them because some are more disconnected than others.
The same people who freaked out about Jinx were probably the same people who thought all computers were going to explode when it was the year 2000.
Oh, and Pokemon is evil because they're all demons.
Oh, man. I remember the magical creature scare of 1998 or 99. Get them out of your house.
Yeah, they're, I think,
demon
I
creatures
think, speaking of baby Pokemon, I think Smoochum was a great pre-evolution to Jinx, and I think right now Jinx is kind of forgotten, especially with so many Pokemon. But I remember when Black and White were first coming out, and the people showed mock-ups of Jinx's evolution of being more like a gypsy, closer to kind of what Gothitelle was ended up being. But I think Jinx could be really cool with an evolution or a mega evolution, if done right.
I think so too, and I think it would maybe help to undo that cultural disconnect, I guess, that maybe existed at the time of the creation of Jinx.
But Jinx was cool.
That Jinx, though.
Ice Psychic, man.
Slippery wrote in, hey, SBJ, Will, and possibly Travis. R.I.P. Travis. I love the show and decided to write in a question for the crew. If you were isolated on an island for 6 years with only one Pokemon to help you survive, which Pokemon would you pick? You cannot leave the island even if your Pokemon can fly or swim. And P.S. I agree with Will. Cheesecake is the best dessert by far.
You got that right.
Oh.
Waiting for somebody to think of Tropius as the correct answer because he provides you with food and entertainment.
You know, right?
You'll never get hungry because you can eat his bananas.
That's a lot of directions that joke could have. I feel
that's,
like Ditto.
That's not a wrong answer at all.
It's not a wrong answer. I feel like Ditto is a cop out, but if Ditto can turn into more than just doesn't Ditto have to see what it needs to turn into?
See, that's what I was going to say, is he wouldn't be that good because if he can't see another Pokemon, he can't turn into it. So he's just going to turn into you, and you'll be looking at yourself and picking out all of your own flaws.
I would maybe go with, what about Rotom, though?
Oh, he gets you electricity.
Hey, what's Rotom going to do for you? Just
I mean,
shock you?
He can be
if
a fridge, and he can be a TV.
No. He can inhabit a fridge or a TV. If you're on a desert island and those things aren't there, you're just stuck with an electric ghost, buddy.
What about if you just brought those with you?
Wait, do not extend the scope of the question.
You don't need the electricity, though. On a desert island
with a Pokemon.
All right. I'm trying to cheat my way through this question. That's the reality of it.
I think it's interesting that the question says if you were isolated on an island for just 6 years, not a day sooner,
or a day less. Actually, the right answer is Hoopa, because you bring Hoopa, and then Hoopa can bring in a whole bunch of other Pokemon.
Ooh, that's good. I mean, I feel like a basic answer would just be a water Pokemon, so you would have fresh water. That's saying that Pokemon can provide fresh water.
I'm just saying that Bubble and Hydro Pump, that's not necessarily fresh water. they're generating. I mean, like if you drool, that's not fresh water, and that's something.
You don't know if my drool's fresh or not.
I've seen your drool. It ain't fresh.
Kayla writes in, "Hey Pokemon Podcast, I've been listening to your podcast for a couple months, as I have a job where I can listen to podcasts all day. Since all I do is tell my boyfriends all the things I learned from these podcasts, he asked if I had found a Pokemon podcast. The question blew my mind, and I had to find one, and it happened to be It's Super Effective. You guys are hilarious, and Will, you're right, Twizzlers are so much better than Red Vines."
You got that right.
Why are all these people agreeing with you?
Oh, wow.
It's Will's week. Yes.
Wrong answer. I'm never one to be like, hey, your answer's wrong, but your answer is wrong in that case.
Now you've broken your streak of it never being.
Mike, I have a big thing of Red Vines that we can crack open tonight when we watch.
Yes, Super Slam.
Yeah, the Super Slam. I'm 22 years old and from Nebraska, and I started playing the Pokemon games when I was 5. I loved Pokemon so much that for my 6th birthday party, I was all about Pokemon. I played through Pokemon Red, Silver, Crystal, and I stopped playing when Sapphire came out, but in high school I picked up Diamond. See, that's how it always is. You always pick it back up in high school. I love the 4th generation the most because I struggled with depression in high school, and Pokemon took me away from all my problems. I could obsess over building the perfect team and explore every corner of the region. Anyways, I wanted to write to you guys because unfortunately I have stopped playing Pokemon daily after I beat Alpha Sapphire. It just didn't wow me like Pokemon X, but I had been meaning to pick it up and play through the game again. I finally decided after you guys had already suckered me into trying Pokemon Shuffle. So addicting. The day after I reset Alpha Sapphire was after you guys mentioned getting the shiny Rayquaza from Mystery Gift. I hope that would allow me to pick up Rayquaza once I reached the first Pokemon Center, and it worked. I ended up beating my rival's level 5 Mudkip with Rayquaza, even though he fell asleep before he would eventually attack.
Yes.
I laughed through the rest of the night, and I thought that I would share it with you guys. I love the podcast, but I hate that you told me about PokemonCenter.com. The plushies are so adorable, and it's hard to resist buying them all. Well, thank you, Kayla, for the nice email. She covered so much about our lives in one email.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with her on pretty much everything.
Except
for resetting a game, I would never do that. I would always buy another cartridge fresh rather than reset one of my Pokemon worlds.
That is true. I'm with you on that. I would always buy another game.
I would do the same. We have a problem.
Resetting would hurt me very much.
Right. It's like destroying a whole universe that you have done some constructive work in.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, in the lives of all those people and just like wiping them out in the blink of a switch. Mm-mm-mm.
My Skype cuts in and out at weird intervals, so
nice.
It sounds like someone's done and then I'll start talking and they're not. So
I'm done.
Social awkwardness.
It's all you.
So it's that 30-second delay. do you think that after we had discussed it, our own opinions on Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, I said those backwards, and hearing more and more people talk about their disappointment in them, do you think that that's clear to the Pokemon company? Do you think it's interesting to me because for the longest time, people wanted those remakes so bad, like that's all people would talk about. And now more and more I feel like I hear people talk about how disappointing they were.
I would say that there is probably, as with all corporations in this company, a country, a lot of factors that go into corporate decision making that can lead them to making wrong decisions or misguided decisions quite easily. Some of those being that they only hear what they want to hear. And also, from our perspective, like we have a very unique perspective, one, being informed as being people from the United States, and two, being people who are probably a little more invested in Pokemon than your average citizen. But TPCI or, you know, Game Freak or whatever, they're actually listening to voices from all over the world. And they might not necessarily consider the United States viewpoint to be their most important demographic or their most important viewpoint in their decision making. So where we may feel that they've made a bad decision or that it was wrong to do it, they may overall be satisfied with the decision because it met the needs of other consumers that we don't normally consider just because of our perspective. This has been Business School Talk with Bill Anderson.
Yeah, I think the biggest factor is comparing those sales numbers to X and Y.
And it seems like they sold pretty well. I mean, did they not?
Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire?
I don't think they sold as well as X and Y.
I think they sold really well because from the point of view, well, also maybe there's an overlap market there, right? Maybe X and Y sold really well to people who were already invested in Pokemon and had just a very small creep, and creep to people who weren't already heavily invested in Pokemon. And then Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire sold really well to people who were nostalgic, but didn't sell as well to people who were longtime Pokemon fans, had already played the originals of those games and were a little less interested. Because I very frequently come across people who are not hardcore Pokemon players, but they'll say, yes, I bought Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire because I just wanted to re-experience those games.
That's interesting. I'll need to pull up sales numbers for next week.
Yeah, but also keep in mind, right, we don't know the corporate mind of the decision makers at Pokemon. Their whole philosophy or their secret philosophy that they're not publishing, it might be, we only care about what sells in Japan. And United States is an aftermarket for us, right? That could be their driving factor, but we don't know that. I don't think that is their driving factor. I'm just saying that as a concept, so please don't argue with me.
But it could very well be the case. I mean,
we do not know what their core philosophy is driving for what they consider success.
I would say probably is not so much the case, just because of how much they have invested in like Pokemon Company stuff in the US. But I feel like we're probably smaller potatoes than we think we are.
Well, yeah. Well, we do know that like the TV show and the card game and the spin-off games are all targeted to make people buy the main series game.
Right.
Yes. But, you know, it's a standard of American corporate philosophy that all American corporations, the fundamental rule is that you have to create value for the shareholders. That is not necessarily the Japanese corporate philosophy. I don't know what the Japanese corporate philosophy is, but that doesn't necessarily carry over. So let's have somebody do a white paper, please, on Japanese corporate philosophies and their influence on the development and marketing of Pokemon games in the United States. Thank you. Have that done by next week. 10 pages, double space, no larger than 10-point font.
Perfect. Well, Brandon wrote in. Brandon says, I'm 100% convinced that the new green Pokemon is some sort of cell that makes up Zygarde. The new green Pokemon only has one eye on its left side of the face, and if you look at Zygarde on the Pokedex, only Zygarde's left eye lights up. The hexagon on the green Pokemon's belly resembles the hexagons on Zygarde. One of the moves Zygarde uses rains green hexagons on the opponent and then returns them back to Zygarde. I think that's how you say it. At least that's how I'm saying it. Let me know what you guys think. Also, Twizzlers are way better than Red Ropes. And Will needs to open himself up.
All right, no, wait a second now.
More variety of cheesecake.
No, plain cheesecake. Plain.
Let me tell you about Red Ropes. Cheesecake.
Because ropes are different than Red Vines.
That's true.
Like, Super Rope is not the same thing. Now, don't get me wrong. Super Rope is still better than Twizzlers, but...
I don't know what a Red Rope is, but...
They're like those big, long, like... They come in cellophane, like, foil packages. And they're like giant licorice whips. I don't know.
Yeah, they're closer to a licorice whip. You are correct.
They're okay. But they're no Red Vines.
All right. Resident licorice experts here.
Licorice chat.
I do agree. What was it, Brandon?
Yeah, Brandon.
That, because one of the things I thought of Green Blobby was that it's not necessarily a cell from Ziggurat, but one of his its scales.
Like I
a think scale that had thing. Fallen off of Zygarde, and Zygarde is a composite being.
Do you think this
is almost would say that these things maybe make up. I don't want to say that. I don't want to like speculate too hard, but I feel like maybe because there is this oncoming like Zygarde mega evolution that maybe as far as lore goes that these play some part in maybe building that, like making up
this. To me, this is like this is probably like a Manaphy Fion situation.
Like a secondary to Zygarde completely.
Right. Like the only way to get one of these scales is to breed.
And just have a like a failure.
Right.
And then it's this thing.
Huh?
Much like I am the Fion to Travis's Manaphy.
You're no Fion.
Well, I'm sorry.
I just think this whole little scale Pokemon is
he whatever makes it ends some very, up being. Very good points though, as far as like the eye, the difference in eyes and things like that. Because my biggest question when I saw that thing was why is like one eye larger and the other is not really an eye? And that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I just think this thing's gonna lead into something that's not that fantastic once it finally is announced.
I think it would be cool though if it were part of the like chemical makeup to the larger like the Mega Zygarde or Primal Zygarde or whatever it is that they wind up doing. But I also feel like maybe it could be like these things fall off of it as scales when it because it's very like it's a very serpentine Zygarde is a very serpentine Pokemon like. And if it's maybe if it sheds its skin in evolution, mega evolution or primal evolution or whatever, maybe that's what it gives off. Maybe that's what comes from it. But of course, speculation is fun. But
it's the Randy Orton of Pokemon.
Well, what is? Why would you stop? What is? He hears voices in his head. What is? Zygarde's typing dragon.
Oh, I don't even know.
Not like I don't have Bulbapedia sitting open right in front of me right now. He's the order Pokemon. He is Dragon Ground. Dragon we never Ground. Pay attention to that, do we?
No, dragon I'd never Ground. Like paid that much attention to Zygarde to really realize.
That's what how its they get That's how they get you. You think, oh, that's not that important. And then all of a sudden, it's like merging with the other mega Pokemons to make a super mega Pokemon.
But he's very snake based. So it would make sense that if he's evolving into something else, that he would shed his skin.
He's just, the Gen 6 Giratina.
He's the Gen 6 Kyurem.
It's the Gen 6 Ekans. It's more like it.
He's obviously an evil Pokemon, like Giratina is. Is Kyurem actually a bad Pokemon?
Wait, Kyurem is evil. Zygarde is not evil.
He's well, from
his Pokedex. Sapphire, his Pokedex Omega says Omega that Ruby. That he will destroy the ecosystem from deep inside the cave where he lives.
I mean, it doesn't really get more evil sounding than that.
No, wait. not that he will destroy the ecosystem. It's hypothesized that it's monitoring those who destroy the ecosystem.
Oh, you're so right. You're right.
He's paying attention to them because he's the order Pokemon and he restores order.
All right. Fair enough.
That's a good point. Well, yeah, it says that he, when the ecosystem goes into disarray, it appears and reveals its secret power.
These are all spoilers for the next game. Something's going to – there's going to be like eco terrorists.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be some – I'm sure.
And Zygarde is going to come out and restore like the balance of nature versus nurture or
ecosystem
technology.
Social commentary incoming for Pokemon Z. You heard it here first.
That's the same old social commentary. We've heard it every Pokemon game since day one.
But it does say when the ecosystem falls into disarray, it appears and reveals its secret power. Whether that secret power is now that the world is weakened and I can take it over, or I'm here to restore the order, has yet to be revealed.
Well, since Pokemon are actually based on the traditional concept of Japanese yokai, and yokai are supposed to serve as lessons to correct behavior when you do things that are wasteful. It's supposed to correct your behavior, not be wasteful, or to resolve human conflicts in ways where humans cannot find the resolution. I would say he's probably there to do something good versus evil. And I would appreciate if somebody would write a 10-page paper, double space, no larger than 10-point font, on the origins of Pokemon as they relate to the traditional Japanese concept of yokai.
Extra credit if you
by next week.
We'll see you next week on the Yokai Watchers.
Talia wrote in, so I got some beef with Pokemon, even though Auras is the best game ever. The Dex Navs and stuff got me inspired to catch all 719 Pokemon and counting. I caught all of them except for Meloetta and Mew. Why, Pokemon, can you not make these available? Why do they need to be event-exclusive Pokemon, and I have no way of getting them in the future? I was able to get every other event Pokemon through the GTS, but those two you can't trade because they were not released in this generation. What kind of Poke crap is that?
I'm sure they will. I'm sure there will be some event for them. They're pretty good about making event Pokemon available at some point in the that generation run. But it's marketing strategy.
When's the last time they did a Mew distribution?
Oh, I can't even remember. Probably 2009, 2010.
No, I think it was more recent than that. It's to make it special, dudes. It's to make it a complete Pokedex something special. Number one, to make it special that you've actually accomplished it. Number two, to encourage people to communicate with each other, because all you have to do is trade back to get that Pokemon in your Pokedex, and then you can still have a complete Pokedex even without owning a Mew.
That's
true.
This
isn't a concept of ownership. It's a concept of sharing.
You're not wrong. If you need help getting those Pokemon for your Pokedex, let us know. And I'm sure we'll have fans that will trade you back so you can get your certificate.
Well, if you want to talk about our Slack community at the end of the show, there is a channel on there about trading and Pokedex completion. And if you're a legit person I can trust, I do have almost a living Pokedex. just have a few breedables I have to get done, but I might be willing to share a Mew and share a Meloetta.
I think I have Meloetta. I'm not sure. Danny wrote in, hey guys, long time listener, long time emailer. I was wondering if you could move a Pokemon from one generation to another. What Pokemon would that be? For example, moving Pikachu into generation 4 because of XYZ reasons. Keep doing what you're doing, especially playing Rocket League. It's way better than Destiny will ever be.
Ugh, Danny.
There's so many differing opinions in these last two emails. It's so serious.
Ugh.
This is the wonders of our modern age.
That people can have different opinions. Not everybody doesn't have to all have the same opinion. And we don't hunt them down and burn them.
Unless your opinion is that Twizzlers are better than Red Vines, and you're just wrong.
Then you're going to get burned or dunked like a witch in the lake to see if you float. Sure.
I think what we touched on earlier, I feel like Jinx should have been saved for a later generation.
you know how for it's almost like you foresaw his letter and you made the comment before the letter actually came.
Yeah, foresight.
Wow.
It all comes full circle here on Pokemon Podcast.
It's called Future Sight is the attack. Future Sight.
I believe there's a move called Foresight as well.
Possibly.
Hoot might know it if I know my Pokemon.
Oh, you didn't even know that Hoot Hoot had two legs.
I definitely did that. Know that. You did not know that.
I did know that. I knew it hopped back and forth on its leg. I think Hoot Hoot should have been brought forward to Gen 5. I think Hoot Hoot is a very misunderstood Pokemon, and by Gen 5, people would have understood it. I think all the good Pokemon should have been in Gen 5, even though there were a lot of good Pokemon in Gen 5.
I think Vanillix should have been moved to Gen 1.
No, you know what? Vanillix, you know, any of like the cute, tasty Pokemons should have been moved forward to X and Y. So there'd be just like a whole selection of Slurpuffs and Vanilluxes. And it's like wherever you go in Kalos, all the Pokemon are so deliciously edible.
It's just one giant navigatable candy store.
Yes, it's Candy Crush Pokemon style. Oh, man, the next Pokemon game, they're going to have like a Twizzlers Pokemon.
Now, here's a question. How do you think people would have reacted if they didn't release Raichu in Gen 1 and Raichu showed up like in Gen 6?
I think people would be excited.
You think
so?
Yeah. I think they would be excited. I think they would be excited knowing that there was a Pikachu evolution coming. But then I think once people saw what it was, they would be like, oh, that's terrible. How did they destroy Pikachu?
Probably
terrible evolution.
Why are you hating on Raichu so much?
I'm not. I love Raichu. I'm just saying that I think people would have reacted that way because that's the typical reaction to.
I think the audience who listens to our show would react that way. I think little kids would be so excited that their Pikachu that they love would get an evolution
because children are so full of wonder and excitement. We've all had time to grow up and be jaded by things.
So. Oh, I'm very jaded. Don't get me wrong.
I'm more jaded than you.
You're pretty jaded.
Yeah.
This is a very jaded
sense
podcast.
Of victory.
Hey, SBJ and squad. To answer your last podcast question, I think our little green booger snake friend is definitely something to do with Zygarde. The fact that it has a dark green hexagon on its back, and it also it's in the next movie with Zygarde gives it away. Plus, a bunch of little of them started lighting up in the trailer. They are most likely to create something or release energy for Zygarde. I think the big question is whether this brand new Pokemon, like Carbink for Diancie or Fion for Manaphy, or is it a weird Zygarde form? I don't think it's a form. I think it's like Carbink and Diancie or Fion and Manaphy. That's my opinion in his email. I also believe that Little Z... Ooh, that's a good name for him.
Little Z is a good
Little
name.
Little Z will be a new Pokemon. Will be a new Pokemon Z or X2, Y2, whatever they call it, which will be announced in a few weeks. I actually don't think it's going to be announced now that the World Championships is over.
No. I'm still... holding true that they are not making any announcement about a new main Pokemon game until 2016, even if it's January 2016.
I had heard, I don't remember where I read it, and it's probably wrong, but I had heard suggestions that they were going to talk about it in November.
What's in November?
I don't know.
No.
The announcement. I don't know.
Keep in mind, right? Super Mystery Dungeon is coming out October, November, right?
December.
So it only makes sense that
they are not going to stomp on the release of Super Mystery Dungeon with a main series Pokemon game announcement because then people won't buy Super Mystery Dungeon because they're not going to buy it in the first place. Let's not create a disincentive
to get people to buy it, and then you got to keep the hype for the franchise going. So then,
yeah. So after the launch will be January 2016.
I will say though, I am convinced that they're going to call it Pokemon Z at this point. I think X2Y2 is out of consideration, considering that they're making it clear that Zygarde is going to have an important part in whatever's coming next, and he's definitely the Z Pokemon. So
I think that it's probably going to be called Pokemon Z.
What's wrong with Zemrold?
Oh, I like Zemrold better. Quantum Zemrolds.
P.S. Sorry, Will. Red Vines are definitely better than Twizzlers, but I do agree that cheesecake is delicious. And P.S.S. I joined the Slack community.
Yay! Thank you,
Scott. I think now that Worlds is over and we have an official announcement that there was no official announcement of a new Pokemon game. I don't see anything being announced for the rest of this year, especially November, December, such a weird time to announce a new game.
When was the last time that we went a year without having a Pokemon game?
It was...
My memory is really bad.
It was the year...
I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah, it was the year before Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Yeah, it's been a while then. We've had consistently... when we got to the point, like, when we reached summer of 2015 and there was no announcement, it was a weird feeling. Because it's, like, I'm so used to it now.
Yeah.
But.
I'm confident that they're working on a new engine at this point.
Yeah. I would hope so. Don't get me wrong, XY and, Oras, the engine was very cool, but I don't want to see that engine get recycled into oblivion.
Yeah. Got two more emails before we wrap up the emails. Well, this is going really long. Benton writes in, greetings from Canada. Response to your question, what is the green blob? In Gen 7, it will be... he's saying Gen 7. It will be the starting Pokemon for both you and your rival will get at the beginning. Starts up as a normal type, and then at the end of your first route, it will evolve into three different Pokemon, either grass, water, or fire, depending on the happiness, friendship, nature, some new mechanics, whatever it evolves into. It will have two more evolutions similar as the other generations. By the way, plain cheesecake with strawberry is the best dessert ever.
I am not opposed to putting a topping on plain cheesecake. So that is an acceptable response, and I think like a nice strawberry sugared sauce is delightful. Just do not ever put cherries. Cherries are disgusting unless you're eating them as a plain stone fruit.
I will agree with you on that 100%.
I don't like strawberry.
I really like the concept of what he's saying will happen, or what could happen with this Pokemon. I like that idea, that kind of mystery of like you start with something and then it changes as you use it and you don't know what it's going to change into, unless of course you're paying very close attention to whatever those factors are and metagaming as hard as you possibly can. But I feel like some of that mystery of Pokemon is like we've lost that in recent years.
Because people crack the games and then you go on the internet and you find out all the stuff that they discovered by reading the code and all that garbage. But, you know, basically it's just describing like if you started with Eevee and didn't know anything about the game and just had to find out over time of how your Eevee would turn into different Eevees.
Yeah, it would be very, very, very similar to starting with an Eevee. And that's why I don't think it would be like the best option for the beginning of the game. And you're also taking away the fact of like, I picked this Pokemon that's like, and if you look at how they promoted X and Y, it was very like Team Froakie, Team Fennekin, Team Chespin.
Yeah.
People get behind and get excited for what they plan on picking. And I don't think they would ever want to take that away from the player.
Yeah, I think having a Pokemon like that would be neat, not as a starter, though, because I think that that's definitely part of the culture of starting a new Pokemon game.
Yeah, I would be super happy if they would have starters that were something other than fire, water, and grass.
Oh, man, could you imagine?
Like psychic, dark, and fighting? That would be like
revolutionary.
Awesome. And that's not even that revolutionary, because that's obviously what the X and Y starters ended up as.
But final email. Michael wrote in, are you excited for Super Mario Maker since you can use Pokemon-themed levels and be Pikachu slash Charizard, Mewtwo, Lucario, Greninja, and or Jigglypuff?
The basis of this question implies amiibos. I have immediately lost interest.
I am excited. I don't know if you, I know it's Steve that you watch Giant Bomb do their thing on Fridays. I don't know if you watch them do any of the Mario Maker stuff.
I haven't, but I'm sure it's amazing.
It's incredible. Having like attaching sounds to certain actions in Mario and like your Mario level, change that to levels that I am very excited to participate in.
Yeah, I think Mario Maker will be like Little Big Planet, where I didn't really build anything, but I definitely played a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But Little Big Planet's, in retrospect, not really that good of a game.
But yes, adding Pokemon to it definitely brings more levels of excitement to it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Mario Maker will be a day one purchase for me, but I think it will be a purchase that I will be excited for once there is like content that I want to seek out and play, which I know won't be available on day one.
Right.
And that's it for emails. Who would have thought emails would take 40 some minutes?
It's a lot to discuss.
And they were all fantastic questions. So if you want your email read, I think it's a great segment that all three of us like doing. PKMNcast.com, hit the little contact button, or you can email me directly at sbj@pkmncast.com. That'll get your emails to me. And with that, we'll take a break and then we'll wrap up the show. And we are back for Pokemon of the Week. This week's Pokemon of the Week, suggested by Will, is Oddish. The dual-type grass-slash-poison Pokemon.
No, no, no. It's Oddish, the weed Pokemon.
He is the weed Pokemon. That he is. Did you pick this because I tweeted that little Oddish comment comic?
Well, that's what made me think of it. But honestly, Oddish is absolutely one of my favorite Pokemon of all time.
Oddish is really cool. That comic was super funny. If you haven't seen the comic, my apologies to who drew it, but I do know it's on the image itself. I tweeted it like 2 days ago from the Pokemon Podcast Twitter account. It's really funny. Oddish lives in grassland and forest. A nocturnal Pokemon, Oddish buries its sensitive body into the ground during the day to avoid the sun and fool predators. If its leaves are pulled in this state, it will respond by shrieking horribly. Why hasn't the anime ever showed this? It starts to move when its leaves begin absorbing moonlight, to which it uses to grow. Oddish will wander up to 1,000 feet during the night and scatter its seeds and find nutrition-rich patches of soil in which it plants itself in. The more fertile the earth, the glossier its leaves will be. It is thought that its feet become like tree roots when planted.
So it's really based on, is it a mandrake?
Yeah.
Is the thing that's supposed to scream when you pull it out of the ground?
Yep. Yes.
I just think it's so cute. I mean, if I could have a little Oddish. Oh.
Oddish is like, I was a really big fan of the Gloom Vileplume evolution tree, like the whole Oddish evolution tree growing up.
Yeah, I love Vileplume. If Bioplume's a boss.
Pretty awesome.
Oddish falls into that circle of like Voltorb and Jigglypuff and Oddish all being very easy to draw as a kid.
So it's a ball with a little face on it and some leaves.
Speaking of drawing, not to get off topic, but I think Micah and I finalized the date.
I think.
The date that we have in question is Saturday, September 5th. Which is 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now.
So if you're unfamiliar with that, Micah drew the first 360 Pokemon in the Pokedex in about 12 hours. And
we got very ambitious and said all 720.
And so we stopped at risk of passing out. And we're going to pick that back up on September 5th, a little later than we wanted to. But that date is now on podcast record, podcast vinyl here for you guys. So we'll have more specific times and event stuff for the next 2 weeks coming up. Build that hype back up.
Get hype.
That's right.
Speaking of hype, we can jump back to Oddish here.
So hype. You can watch Steve draw an Oddish. Maybe that'll be, we'll open it with you drawing
an Oddish. No redos. You guys, it'll be 14 hours if you're doing redos. No redos.
No, just Oddish though.
No exceptions. That's all how right. You make mistakes. First it was, let me draw Pokemon.
So you get locked up. And
if you put a comment in about having the Pokemon do something funny or eat a funny food, I'll do that too. And then like 300 Pokemon later, you're like, I'm not doing food on Pokemon anymore.
The hot dogs were great though. So
they were great hot dogs.
I'm sorry. The Ninjask eating, I mean, the Shedinja eating pizza is the greatest thing of all time.
Also good.
Absolutely the greatest thing of all time. I think I might have to pay for a commission of that.
Just to piggyback on that real quick before we continue, for people who won the sketches, I'm still doing those on Sundays as well. I'll be doing that later tonight and next Sunday too. Hopefully they will finish all of them.
When later tonight? Like midnight?
Probably like 11 o'clock after Super Slam.
Super Slam.
Oddish has a tremendously great base stat total of 320 with its highest in special attack. So you just want to get those special attack things going. And
if only it had 100 more base stats, it would be a better Pokemon.
It does learn some fairy type moves like Moonlight and Moonblast, which is nice from Gen 6. And it also knows Charm, which is one of my favorite moves to use on my Pikachu in the Pikachu Cup, because anybody who's trying to Earthquake me, I charm them into their Earthquake being powerless. And it has an egg move of Tickle. So you, of course, want to breed your Oddish to know Tickle and Snore.
Oddish can be seen parallel to Bellsprout. Both are grass/poison-type Pokemon in Generation 1. Both are part of a three-stage evolutionary line. Both start to evolve at level 21, and their second-end evolution both utilize the Leaf Stone. Oddish was exclusive to Pokemon Red. Bellsprout was exclusive to Pokemon Green. And both can be found in the same locations in said games. Also, both can be found in the White Forest in White, and both have their eggs, and both have had their egg design revealed. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird statement. Their egg, does all eggs look the same?
Isn't that not necessarily true?
What are you talking about?
Specific patterns?
No. Really?
Let me run to Google real quick. And
Oddish has a very disappointing shiny. Instead of being blue, it is just green.
All green.
Otherwise,
Oddish also is a Pokemon that Ash owns in the manga, not in the show.
It also has a bajillion appearances in the TV show.
As it should. I think Bellsprout gets more honor in the games. Video
he does
games.
Have his own tower.
Yeah. And Oddish gets more in the TV show, the cartoon.
Bellsprout has like a sweet dance though in the anime. Wiggles his little stem body.
It's kind of disturbing. If you ever saw the movie Day of the Triffids, it would probably terrify you quite a bit. I think it's Triffids.
Mike, where are you at on this egg thing?
I'm getting, okay, I don't know what this is. Let me take a look here. I'm seeing a lot of sprites for different eggs for different Pokemon, like very drastically different. But a lot of these I don't remember, so I'm not entirely sure what these are from. I vaguely remember things similar to this from like a Ranger, but I don't think that's the case. Give me a second here. Here, I will send you this though.
As an owner of Pokemon Blue, I was always slightly jealous that I couldn't get Oddish from Red.
Because he was one of the best Gen 1s.
That's right.
He's adorable. Yeah, I was a big fan of Oddish growing up. And I remember being really excited having the Vileplume card for the TCG. Being able to evolve that Gloom into a Vileplume. That doesn't really... There's no real information there that anybody cares about.
No.
It was nostalgia for me. Nah.
The link you sent does show that in the anime, Pokemon have different eggs.
That I remember for sure. Like, Togepi's egg was very obviously very different than, like, other eggs.
Right. Like, sure. They show a Magby egg next to a Sandshrew egg, and obviously they look like the Pokemon they're about to hatch into.
Right. There is, yeah, you can never, I don't know,
never
really trust something from, yep,
dwell on it too long, as we've already had quite a bit of a long show.
So just edit all of this out.
Cut it all out.
Cut it all out. Disregard.
Anytime you say cut something out.
This might have to do with Pokemon Channel.
It never makes the cutout.
Yeah, it's probably Pokemon Channel.
You think it's Channel?
Yeah, Pokemon Channel has different eggs, and I saw they have an Oddish egg.
Well, anyways, according to Bulbapedia, it's the same as the Bellsprout egg. But that's here. This here,
neither
nor there.
Here nor there.
Hearsay.
We have a big party to get ready for.
That we do.
Super Micah. Slam.
Super Slam. Micah, where can our listeners find you?
I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/MicahTheBrave, and I'm on Twitter at also Mike of the Brave, and that's mostly all I use right now.
Do you have a night that Pokemon fans might want to watch you?
Currently, Monday is Pokemonday, where I will be streaming my playthrough of Alpha Sapphire, specifically because I've already gone all the way through Omega Ruby, and now I want some of those Alpha Sapphire exclusives, and it's a good opportunity to go through that game. We're destroying our way through trainer battles with level 70 shiny Rayquaza that will not obey me, as I said before, and that's that.
That is that. Will, where can they find you?
On Twitter, I'm at Wash in the Sink, and on PS4, I'm at Wash in the Sink. Good time to start thinking about getting into Destiny. If you listen to me and Steve talking on a podcast and you think, hey, I'd like to hear those guys swear at the television and say ridiculous stuff, you know, add us on PS4. And I've been playing Destiny with Wes and Mike all weekend.
That's true.
Good place to hang out. Not safe for work.
It is a good time to get back into Destiny if you are interested.
Or get started with Destiny.
Or get started.
Or just play Rocket League.
Or play Rocket League sometimes.
I hit a skill level cap with that of me accepting I will no longer get any much better.
Any much better.
Any much better. I ain't getting that any much better here. You can follow me on Twitter. It is at DreggingALake. That is the same as my PlayStation name and my Wii U Nintendo ID, whatever name, as well. If you like what you heard today, maybe this was your first Pokemon podcast. That's probably actually a great episode to start because we didn't get too off topic. But if you like what you heard, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/itssupereffective, and you can throw a couple dollars our way, and gets you access to our Slack community and gets you some other stuff. If you've been a Slack member for 3 months or longer, your stickers should have gone out. If you've only been backing at like a 2 month level, obviously once you hit month three, your stickers will go out. We got some cool Rotom stickers that went out this past week, and everyone who pledges through Slack also gets, no matter what level you pledge, you get some cool Rotom wallpaper that our friend Jeff did up for us. So yeah, Patreon's a great way to support the show. If you want to support the show without giving us a dollar, which is totally fine, please review us in iTunes. Even if you don't use iTunes, just head over to iTunes and leave us a review. That would be fantastic because it helps other people find the show. And yeah, that would be much appreciated. Otherwise, you can follow Pokemon Podcast on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast, Facebook.com/PKMNcast. And we're on the internet like everything else in the world is. Otherwise, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast. And we are
Super Stardust Cosmic King Wade Barrett beats Stephen Amell.
Red Vines Fan Cast.
Boo.
Super effective.
Burns.